T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. Rockets won their 8th in a row last night. They blew out the Portland Trailblazers 132-108. Rockets now 11-3 on the season. Don't look now, only a half game behind the Lakers for the best record in the West. James Harden outstanding again, 36 points, shot the ball well this time, 11-19 from the floor, 5-10 from behind the three-point line. Russell Westbrook after the game basically said, "Don't take James Harden for granted."
I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness when you see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that can do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it. He's put himself in position to be able to be one of the best offensive scorers of all time because of the way he's able to score the ball at a high level in a variety of different ways. So it's amazing. I'm just here to be able to help him along the way.
He's not wrong. I mean, when you look at James Harden statistically, when you look at the offensive numbers, he is putting himself amongst some of the greatest to ever do it. Some of the records he is touching haven't been done since Wilt Chamberlain. So Russell Westbrook, when he says this, he's not wrong.
No, he's hitting the nail on the head. I think we've talked about it multiple times. If we take for granted what James Harden can do on a basketball floor, and the fact that, he does it night in, night out, in a day and age when a lot of our conversations revolve around load management for some of the other superstars in this league. The fact that he does it night in, night out, I know I take it for granted. I know that I'm real quick to talk about the fact that the when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, he hadn't answered the bell and hadn't got the Rockets over the hump to get into a finals and to win a finals, NBA finals. I mean, you know, so I take it for granted. I mean, hell, it's so good, it's hard to not take for granted, quite frankly. I mean, to be completely honest with you, it's so good that it's hard to not take it for granted.
Listen, James Harden is averaging 39 points a game. He scored 36 points last night. That's a subpar performance. Think about that. In second place in the league, he's averaging 30 points a game.
So his average dipped.
His average dipped. But I'm just saying, think about that. 9 points difference between first and second place leading the league in scoring. James Harden can get buckets on whoever you put out there in front of him. If they try to single coverage him, they don't double him, he's going to destroy whoever's in front of him. It's barbecue chicken. So it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch. And the thing about watching the Rockets last night was they played really good defense, man. I liked what I saw from them on the defensive end, and I liked what I've seen from them over the past few games. They played very well on the defensive end of the court. And so, to me, that puts them in the conversation with the Lakers, whereas a week or two ago, we weren't seeing that out of them. And Russell Westbrook mentioned that in an interview after the game as well. They're like, listen, what's going to put us in that conversation of being a championship ball club is what we do defensively. But James Harden, like you said, Clint, I take it for granted. I expect him to go out there and get buckets because his skill set, his ability to get to the free throw line, his ability to step back and hit a three in somebody's eye, his ability to just get buckets is second to none in the league right now. He's the best offensive player in the league right now, and he's in the conversation for one of the best guys on the field offensively, on the court offensively in NBA history.
So I'm going to heed Russell Westbrook's advice. He's saying not to normalize it. Don't take it for granted. I'm going to listen to Russell Westbrook because it's kind of what, like Clint said, that at some point in time, it always comes down. The conversation always ends up with, well, they got to do it in the postseason. They have to do it in the playoffs. You know what? I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to enjoy the ride of James Harden averaging 39 points per game, perhaps even hitting 40 points per game for a scoring per game average, which would be insane. I'm going to enjoy the ride of Russell Westbrook putting up a triple-double last night. I'm going to enjoy the ride of Clint Capella posting 22 points and 20 rebounds. I'm going to enjoy the regular season for what it's worth, and then we'll have the postseason conversation when we get to the postseason.
I've enjoyed the ride. I've appreciated the ball that James Harden has done. Now, I've taken it for granted because we do this on a daily basis, but all in all, I feel like I've done those things, guys, but in order to buy into the hype, I needed to see more. Based off of what's happened the last few years, I needed to see more in order to buy the hype. I was not for the run it back crew. I was not for doing the same old things and expecting a different result. I wasn't for, well, wait till the dynasty out in Golden State falls apart, which, by the way, we should probably talk about how quickly the wheels came off of that one right there. But I couldn't wrap my head around that way of thinking. I'm just not cut from that cloth for whatever reason. But I'm buying the hype in 2019 right this second. Here's why. Russell Westbrook, and I'm not saying this isn't a big bold statement, he changes the game for the Houston Rockets. When you talk about my biggest problems or my biggest gripes with the Houston Rockets have been player movement, ball movement. What does Russell Westbrook do? Moves with and without the football. Not the baseball, but the basketball. And I've said all along, that is contagious. Before Westbrook got here, when Paul was on the floor and they had some kind of movement, it was contagious. Guys were smiling. Guys were more apt to move when that was what the plan they were implementing on the floor. So with Russell Westbrook, the ball movement, the player movement, the energy and the effort is through the roof. Also contagious. The dog on the court, also contagious. And when it's all said and done, what do I think all of that stuff does? If you mix it all up in a mixing bowl, I think that gets James Harden more open opportunities, more balanced base, essentially spot up 3-point, which he can damn near hit from mid court. It gets him more truly beautiful quality looks where he just hits nothing but the bottom of the net. So for me, it's the Russell Westbrook factor that has me buying the hype right this minute, more so than I ever have.
I'm all for being in the moment. I'm all for enjoying the fact that, you know, you'll get James Harden that could potentially score 40 points a game, and you got Capella going 20-20, and Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. But the question I got to ask you, JB, is are you going to hold that against them if they accomplish all those goals and when the postseason comes, they fall short again? Are you going to say to yourself, maybe they shouldn't have been chasing those goals of scoring 40 points a game or getting those triple-doubles? Do you think that's something that's going to play in the picture? Because I think that's something that if you've been following the Rockets over the years, you know that James Harden does care about some of those statistical things that he accomplishes throughout the regular season. And then at the end of the day, when you get to the postseason, you get to those critical moments, he doesn't come through. And a lot of people point to those reasons. So you got to answer yourself this. You want to be in the moment. You want to enjoy this. But is it foolhardy to do so?
The 40 points more of a milestone thing. I don't care if he's chasing records that's per se, but if he's you know, putting up these numbers that put him in the same conversation as Wilt Chamberlain and Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, then, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy the greatness. Now, if they fail in the postseason, I'll be the first one to bang on him. I'll be the first one to call him a regular season player, put him in the same likes of Karl Malone and Charles Barkley as great guys, great players that have never won a championship. And that's something that will always hang over his head. And he'd be the black cloud to James Harden's career. But he's still going to be a great. He's still going to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm going to enjoy him for that. If he wants to add another record of an NBA championship to this long list of accolades he has over his NBA career, great.
Wade, do you mind if I answer your question in a very long-winded way?
Of course you can, man.
I hope the hell you don't mind, Chief. I do it way too often. No, the reason I'm buying the hype, all the things I just mentioned, the ball movement, player movement, energy, effort, dog on the court, create more opportunities for Harden. My whole willingness to buy that hype is because I believe that when it comes cutting time,
yeah,
and the lights are the brightest, I believe that the Westbrook factor is gonna put the Rockets in a position. I don't know if they're gonna win it all. Hell, the West is completely stacked. So if they get there and they play well and LeBron beats them, who's gonna be pissed off in Houston? Those expectations are maybe a little bit. To me, that's the case.
I feel you, but people here in Houston are tired of seeing the Rockets get almost there and not kick in that door and finish it. So although the Lakers are a hell of a ball club and you've seen them gel very quickly. To me, when I listen to Rockets fans and when I'm you know, paying attention to what's going on, I talk to people, they want to see them take that next step. And so if they do not get to the NBA Finals, I think people are going to be disappointed. They are going to be pointing fingers at James Harden.
That's the world we live in just in general, though, right? Yeah. Like, the Rockets don't do it. The Rockets aren't good enough. The Texans don't do it. They're not good enough. The Astros losing Game 7 of the World Series, they had a huge, epic letdown.
Yeah. I think it's a little different when you talk about the Astros. The Astros actually did it. And they got back to it, and they just fell short. It's a different feeling than with somebody that's never done it and they keep showing you that they're not going to be able to do
it. No, I agree. There's a level of disappointment with not winning when you've built the team and you've got two of the highest paid top five guys in the league and you still can't get over the hump. There'll be some. But for me, again, being a product guy, man, if they go out in the first round or the second round versus one of the top tier Western opponents, and it's a hell of a 7-game series, and Harden doesn't disappear in the fourth, and the Westbrook factor takes over, I can't be disappointed, man.
Yeah.
Now, if they come out and get swept 4-0 and it's the same old, hey, the team is 3-for-49 from three-point range, and then fourth quarter they're still throwing up threes and wondering why you're getting beat. There was no adjustment. There was no change. There was no answers. Then, yeah, I mean, hell, we'll all be disappointed. But I just can't help myself, and maybe this is because I disliked Russell Westbrook. I didn't know him. I disliked him as a basketball player when he played for somebody else. And I absolutely love this cat in Houston. When he's on your team, I absolutely love him. And so maybe I'm blowing this up and thinking that his presence and his role on this team will impact the others in a way that is blown out of proportion. But damn it, it's fun to watch. It's easy for me to appreciate. It's fun to watch. If for all of our blue-collar Houstonians and blue-collar South Texans, if you've ever gotten behind a player, Russell Westbrook is it.
I'm a fan. Clint Capella, too, by the way. 22 points, 20 rebounds.
I'll take it.
4 blocks in that game.
20-20, I'll take it.
20-20 and 4. Hey, not bad.
But those blocks, I think 3 out of those 4 were on the ball. On the ball, just defense. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was help defense.
Protecting the rim, that sort of thing.
Like Capella did a really good job on the defensive end.
Hey, I got a question for y'all.
What you got?
Have y'all been to eat lately?
And
okay, I was about to say,
well, hell, I know ain't neither one of y'all shrinking up. Hell, you too, B-Mac. You smiling like old outhouse rat in there. I know you ain't missed too many meals neither. I know y'all been eating, boys. But look here, I go to eat today.
Yeah.
And I tell the old boy, it was one of those you walk in, you wait in line, and you order, and then you get a number. You sit down if you want to. I was getting my food to go, and so I just kind of hung around the front desk there. But I order my food, and the man, he slides his old iPad around there to face me so I can sign with my credit card, and he runs his finger across the top, like pointing out the fact that there's tip level, 15%.
Oh, no.
Oh, he showed you this. Well, is no, where I mean,
it was just, I'm sure it's how they're coached to do it. When they slide that thing around, he just kind of, hey, can you sign right here? And his finger happened to run right across the 15, 20, 25%, you know, deal.
Yeah.
But I ain't even, like, I just got through ordering.
Yeah.
I'm signing my credit card statement to pay for it. They hadn't cooked it. They hadn't served it. They hadn't serviced me at all. Hell, I went over there and had a hard time getting ice out of the ice machine to get my drink and wanted a tip. What does this world come to where people ask you for a tip?
Off the rip?
You want a tip off the rip? Hell no. I mean, what is this world coming to where I mean, because then I feel bad for saying no, or I feel bad for hitting no tip, but in reality, hell, you ain't done nothing.
All you do in that situation, you say, I'll give you the tip once I get my service, once I get it done. You know what I mean?
I'll bring you the receipt back.
Yeah, or you just, no, you don't have to do it right at that moment. You can just hold off and wait till it gets there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you do tips based off of the service that you provided.
Sure.
They do it in advance like that because there's so many times in the service industry where somebody will stiff you on a tip and they don't give you anything, or they're going to give you $2 on a $100 bill. And so they do that for that reason. But it always turns me off because I'm a big tipper, right? So when somebody says here, these are the levels to tip, and they point out, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to tip you the part that you pointed out that I needed to do, I'm gonna do that for you, even though I had planned on doing a lot more. So I think that they have to cover their own ass, you know what I mean? But I just don't like it. It's a bad part of their eating experience or your service experience when you have to deal with that.
I've got a couple of buddies in the restaurant business, and I understand the point of sales, that whole when you sell, the only way to capture that tip is immediately, because you don't come back. It's not like when you go sit down at this place, at most of these places where it's a point of sale, there's not a whole lot of back and forth service once they bring your cup, you know, I mean, bring your food. I mean, you've got...
Oh, this
got,
is kind of like cafeteria style?
Sounds like a Chipotle type.
No. It's very much like Chipotle,
like,
yeah. But
fast,
but
casual.
It wasn't Chipotle. But yeah, it's more of a fast food casual, but it's not. It's a sit-down place, but they got drink fountains where you fix your own drink.
Wait, they're asking for tips at this place?
It's like on an iPad. Yeah, I've seen that,
too. On an iPad.
It's becoming more
That's interesting.
Prevalent.
I mean, at what point does it become a donation? Just flip it around there and say, would you like to make a donation to our...
I don't know about those type of places. I don't know if you deserve a tip at that type of place.
I'm telling you.
It's like fast food. You get tips at... you know, unless it's a Sonic and you got a car hopping, you're going to tip that person because they actually are riding around on skates and bringing your food. That's something different. But
they make less than minimum wage, by the way, the Sonic car hops.
Yeah, but they make bank. I used to work at Sonic as a kid. Yeah. Not as a kid. I was a teenager. But the car hops, they make a lot
of
money.
But if you've ever thought, should I tip this car hop?
For sure.
Keep in mind they're making less than minimum wage.
Yes, tip the car hops because the car hops do a really good job. But the car hops, I used to work in the kitchen. And I was a cook back there, so I was on the grill. So I used to look at the money they was to make at the end of the day. I'm like, damn. But I'm not finna ride around on those skates. That's just not me.
Wait, yeah, that just
wouldn't kind of work out right.
I'm gonna go to Sonic and I want the old hop to come out there. I don't want you to come rolling out there, offensive lineman come barreling out the door.
I want the Smitty special. I don't know about you.
I'm 20% tipping guy. Yeah. I'm a 20% on the dot, questions asked. Just don't let me eat all the ice in my glass. It can be empty for a minute. Don't let me chew every piece of ice and get the last drop of drink out of it before you ask me if I want another one, and you're getting 20%. But, damn, you can't ask me for a tip before you even – like, my credit card ain't even registered yet, much less the cook. The grease ain't even hot. And you want me to tip you? Come on, man. Something ain't right with that, man.
I saw what you had for lunch. I hope the grease wasn't hot on that.
No, I don't want no grease on that. It's Tuesday. I eat healthy Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I just destroy myself.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.